So
that was the issue. So somebody must have been charged with something then.
He was charged.
And you were charged for, at the time, do you remember?
Common assault.
Okay. And that
and my wife.
And that was in relation to some kind
and
of...
And damage to private property.
Okay. And that was in relation to a dispute with the...
We did a dispute there.
Okay. So when this all went to court then, you didn't get a resolution. You agree with what happened?
Okay.
You
just got all washed out. I tell you exactly what happened. We have a situation before the trial in this form, right? We were constantly harassed on the phones and our legs and our children is going to get beaten up and the legs are going to get busted.
And that's the neighbor.
That, okay, it wasn't the neighbor, actually. We didn't know because we had to, I found out after the trial who made this telephone call. And in fact, these telephone calls were made by the witness at the trial for our neighbors.
Okay, so it was friends.
So it was their friend who came to testify to the trial who was making this harassment telephone call. Beside that, 3 days before the trial, we had front windows busted with the rocks like this.
Okay.
When we went on trial, we slept in the house of our friends. We were really totally disoriented. We didn't know what to do. We said we cannot get any protection. We cannot get absolutely nothing. So this is what was taking the place, right?
Okay.
And so we actually expect Mr. McPherson, because McPherson is supposed to be our lawyer, right?
And John McPherson.
Yeah. So the part that you missed, we were just chatting until you got here, but the part that you missed is that how this all kind of started was that their neighbors, who they had disputes with in the past, or the property line and stuff, didn't like the fact and believed that they were Russian, even though they're from the Czech Republic.
Okay.
And on Canada Day, they had put out Canada flags, and the neighbor had come out and made a big production and was yelling at them that, you know, you don't belong here, you Russians, and stuff like that. And that's how that kind of started this.
And who was the neighbor?
Sparks. Christopher Sparks.
Christopher Sparks.
Okay.
Okay, that was, that's what was happening. Right?
So, Mr. Gaz, you were charged?
I was charged.
With mischief and assault?
Damage to private property and assault.
Yeah.
He came after me. And attacked me.
Okay.
You know, come into the car.
Slow down, okay? We had a car parked in our driveway.
Okay.
So he came and chasing him into the car.
Okay.
And he sit down into the car. He was standing above him. He was afraid that he's going to attack him. So he stood up. And as he stood up, he pushed him away. And then my wife came from the house and tried to chase him away. So she was pushing him out of our property. So everything just get it this way.
Right.
Everything happened on our property, right? There was nobody was pursuing him, nobody was attacking him. We were the ones who were on the attack, right?
Okay.
And from there on, we were looking for a good lawyer, right? We were looking for the lawyer which, because he was 16, right? Let's put it this way, if kid is 16, then you want to have everything done you can, right?
Was he charged in youth court or as an adult?
No, there was no youth court. There was everything to the adult court.
Yeah.
Actually,
well, boys were 16.
I tell you, I was one of those who were pushing on the federal government to make a juvenile court because I came from the communist gun and say, why did you put him into the adult court,
for sure.
If he's a juvenile,
well, they
even if the community, and they change it after that.
Yeah.
I know.
You remember around what time this, like what year this would have happened?
So 1977.
1977. Okay.
So that's before they had, at that time, the age for boys was 16, not 18. To go ahead.
Yeah. We are considered adult from 16.
Yeah.
Okay. So
and I was actually complaining on a basis because these kids got into that courthouse. And all the drug dealers and I don't know, all the thieves and everything
were right there.
So they were exposed to the
So what happened then? So you kind of explained it sounds like the neighbors were causing a lot of issues they were, you know, probably partly to blame for what happened here. So then when you go to court...
Okay. No, they were to blame for what happened.
It sounds like it.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Sounds like
we
it.
Came to the... Actually, that was Harry Dalton Company. John McPherson. He was famous at the time. He was famous lawyer. So
he passed away.
Yeah, he had a car accident.
Car accident died, yeah.
So he says, okay, you know, the way you be looking in the situation, you don't need the witnesses. We said, we have three or four witnesses who saw exactly what happened. And he says, you don't need any witnesses. This case is very simple to go straightforward, right. So you don't need the witnesses.
Okay.
So the witnesses were out. And what was happening, there was, before the trial, we get everything, as I said, we get harassed. We were telling John McPherson, we were telling him, hey, look, we're getting a harassment telephone calls, we're getting threats from the people,
okay.
And what we can do now, you have to wait for the trial. After the trial is going to be over, everything's going to be sorted out, right? And he didn't show up in the court. Well, it was Hefner showing.
Right.
And Hefner says, I'm a lawyer. I said, okay, we are not in condition to go on trial. And I want to see McPherson. I said, McPherson is in Vancouver. So he cannot come in here, that's why I am here, and we have to go on trial regardless. Doesn't matter what kind of condition you are, we're going to have to go on the trial, that's what the Hefner said. So I'm going to tell you right on this spot, okay, we are just from the small country, small people, right? But there was absolutely no shown any respect.
Yeah.
For anything, okay? And besides that, he knew that we still negotiating English language and so on. So he should have listened on, he should have done at least something.
Right. Okay.
And then things went on trial.
Okay.
He didn't cross-examine anything.
Okay.
He let everything run. And what it is the biggest problem, okay, which I disagree until today with the law,
okay.
If you don't bring your evidence at the trial, then you cannot bring it at the appeal.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's wrong. It's done, to my understanding, it was explained to me that it's done because people wouldn't show their evidence, and after the trial they would make appeal and brought evidence, and actually those who were charging would be in dire straits because of that. So that's the only reason. But that is still, that should be aware. If people cannot find evidence on time, they should be allowed to bring evidence up. Because especially what the Hefner did, we couldn't bring the evidence. He didn't mention that we have a Windows busted. He didn't say anything about it.
Okay.
And we told him we got harassment telephone calls. He didn't go to find out who made this harassment telephone call. He didn't bring it at the trial. He just went and zapped right through it, and we were convicted, and then he says, you know, you want something from me? He gave me ceasing to act. Then he's not going to act for me because I was upset with what he did, right? And then that was the end of the story with the Hefner, but I went to pursue the issue after.
So that was in 1977.
Okay.
So at that time, Mr. McPherson would have been a very senior lawyer. He would have been one of the leading lawyers in the city.
Yeah.
And Mr. Hefner would have been...
He was got out of the school.
He was just out of school.
Yeah.
So he was probably told by Mr. McPherson to go and handle this. Yeah.
But actually, the discussion on this case was this way.
Okay.
We wanted Mr. Helena to handle the case.
Yeah.
But we were explained that Mr. Helleran does only Supreme Court, that we have to talk to John McPherson. That's how we got to the John McPherson. But then, if he wanted to go away, he could have told us, I will postpone the trial, and I'm going to do this or that.
No.
He was treating us like
I agree with that.
So, I'm glad that you had the chance to kind of explain kind of the route of why you're frustrated. In
okay,
in
but the, I want to.
No, you know what? We're not going to go on and on and on about. I get the point. We get the point that one, it probably wasn't handled very well. Two, he ended up being convicted in a circumstance that maybe he shouldn't have been convicted. And you're frustrated with Mr. Heppner because of what you perceive to be some incompetence.
Okay, I just want to mention one thing, which is very important.
Okay, go ahead.
I did it myself. I approached the AGT, and I wanted to find out who made those telephone calls. I found it. And this witness was convicted of making harassing telephone calls causing bodily harm. So after the trial, and they're still, they're not able to get up here and to do anything. Yeah. A witness, okay, you this case is basically boo-boo for the week.
What sentence did you get, Mr. Pest? Like what punishment?
Was I have for? No idea. What
were it was, we got a fine. Okay. I don't remember how much it was, but it was a fine. But it was a conviction which was totally unacceptable in any event for him being a teenager, haven't done anything, or we didn't do anything. Everything happened on our property. Yeah. We walked into the courtroom, threatened and harassed to the maximum degree, and we were forced to go through the trial. And Heppner hasn't done a damn thing about it. I don't care if he was still going to the school and he didn't have. He wasn't a lawyer yet. This was totally unacceptable, what he did.
Yeah. And I, you know what, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I can accept that that doesn't sound like things went the way they should have gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't there, but based on what you're saying, if that's all true, a lot of things have changed since then. A lot of things have changed with the law. A lot of things have changed with the way the police do their job and they investigate things, and a lot has changed in 30 years, right? So the reason we called you here today, and I'm glad that we had a chance to chat about Czechoslovakia and a little bit about it. It helps us understand where you're coming from and why you have the views and the frustration that you have. The reason we called you here today is that there's a couple things, right? There was an investigation in February in regards to your sign, right, which Mr. Holtby can explain to you what the result of that investigation was from that. I want to discuss some of the issues around your protest in terms of the complaints that we get from the public about the signs, the wordage of the signs, how it's perceived to be promoting hatred towards certain groups, your behavior sometimes when you're protesting in terms of some people are intimidated by that, so the police do get complaints, okay? So we're going to discuss what the criminal code has to say about
it. But I still want to mention one more thing. That the charges were not laid by the police. Charges against my son and my wife were laid by private information. Okay. So the police didn't want to do anything.
That makes it even more surprising, actually, that it kind of went the way it did. And I can understand why you're frustrated. You know, now we go 30-some years later, 35 years later now, and we're having some other issues, and the issues are around your protest activities. Now, as the police, we have an obligation to protect your right to protest, but we also have an obligation to ensure that the law is being followed. Okay. So we're going to discuss your signs, and I'm also going to touch a little bit on the human rights complaint, because I have it here, and I'll give you a copy of it after so you can refresh your memory, because they had a look at the signage and the wording that you were using at the time in Silver Bullet. And I see a lot of commonalities when I look through this in terms of what was being said at the time and what's being put on some of these signs. Okay, that's not really what the police do, but it is something that you are liable for because you've been there once before. Okay, so maybe we can start with the February 24th. And just to kind of give you the background, when we look at our police reports in relation to your protest activities, we had 4 complaints this year. In 2012. Prior to that, there was a complaint in 2010. And then we didn't have anything since, I think, 2001,
2002.
When you were charged for, causing a disturbance, I think. Was it causing a disturbance? Or, downtown when you were protesting. So we had quite a gap there where we didn't have any reported activity. So, but then in February, like I said, we had 4 complaints this year, and then in February, the previous person in my position, Constable Dennison, had brought the investigation forward to the Crown Prosecutor's office for an opinion on that. So.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to beat around the bush. We decided by when we looked at the file that we were not going to lay charges against you, and we're not going to lay charges against your son in this particular case. And but it was very close, because we thought it might amount to criminal harassment. It was very close to a hate crime. But in this country, we have to prove things beyond a reasonable doubt. And you are given the benefit of the doubt. And we thought that if we proceeded to trial, it may well be that you too would be given the benefit of the doubt, as you should be, and you'd be found not guilty. So we decided on the basis of those particular signs on those particular days that we were not going to lay charges against you. We don't weigh the charges. The police are the ones who ultimately decide, but we recommended to the police that they not lay charges. But after we made that decision, we decided that this can't go on. We can't do nothing about this. And Eric and I met and decided to have this meeting with you. We have no problem with... I have to say, it strikes me as unusual that you would carry this grudge for something that happened 35 years ago.
Can I stop?
Yeah.
This has been revived from 2002 in the most disastrous situation which anybody can go through.
Okay, and we will. You know what? And we will do that. And we will go through it. And I'm going to point out what the judgment was. And I'm going to point out some of the verbiage, some of the language that you used at the time, and how it compares to the language you're using now.
Yes.
And we'll get into that in a minute. Okay.
Right. Yeah, and I'm aware of that. In 2002, there was the human rights complaint, and I understand that. But it strikes me as unusual that I've been a lawyer for 30 years. Mr. Heppner's been a lawyer for slightly longer than I have. It sounds to me that that situation was badly handled. I'm more inclined to blame Mr. McPherson than Mr. Heppner, because I think what likely happened is that Mr. Heppner was working for Mr. McPherson, and Mr. McPherson decided he would go to Vancouver, and he told Alan to go and handle it. And Alan at the time wouldn't have been very experienced, and but probably didn't feel he could say no to his boss either. So I mean, my view is that I'm inclined to blame
a dead guy,
Mr. McPherson, more than Mr. Hampton. And I had a similar experience as a young lawyer. I was working for a fellow in Edmonton, and I was asked to go adjourn a trial. And so I went to adjourn the trial, and lo and behold, there was a jury there that had been selected, and it was there set for jury trial. So some lawyers overbook themselves, and the way they handle it is to sort of push it down to the junior people, and the junior people don't have much say as to whether or not they take it or not. So I'm more inclined to blame Mr. McPherson, who I never met, than Mr. Heppner, just from what I hear. But apart from that, it's just, you know, I think having heard the story, like, we all have our disappointments in life, and it's unusual that people just don't move on and, you know, go home, kick the garbage can, maybe write an angry letter and then move on. So it's unusual to be still have this angry feeling 35 years later.
I may give you an explanation, okay? We, for example, as the Czech people,
yeah,
we have a very similar history the Aboriginal people. It's exactly, actually, the same. Everybody was trying to wipe out Aboriginal people from existence, cancel their identity and convert them into the society as English people, right?
Right.
And obviously that didn't work out because people in Canada didn't understand that they are a nation. So I'm going to put it how it is with us. 300 years ago, just like Aboriginal people, we were run over by Germans.
Okay,
and
Mr.
Just let me finish that. For 300 years, they tried to wipe our language. They killed the people for hiding the books. They killed the people for speaking the language. For 300 years. And we were fighting for our existence. And when we were, okay, when you, I was born, whatever I remember, when I opened my eyes, I was always educated through going to school, to the kindergarten, to the school, high school, or university, whatever. You have to fight for what is right and just. Look at what your fathers has been doing for 300 years. And that could explain to you our position, and not only for yourself. You're supposed to help the other people as well. Okay? And that will tell you that our roots are based on the fact that we starved for survival for 300 years. And everybody was constantly remembered that you have to do this and you have to fight for what is right and just at all times. So when we come across this kind of a situation, okay, it's for me, you know, that what happened to me, I within the times I went through the system, that happens to the many other people as well. We are not isolated case. So if I ever was fighting, I was fighting for everybody, not only for myself. There is an issue that lots of people were mistreated to the maximum degree.
But nothing of this has to do with religion at all.
Well, this has nothing to do with religion.
The trial that Mr. Craig Pez Jr. had nothing to do with religion. Why do you use religious terms on your side?
Okay, this is exactly what I'm gonna tell you right now. We have been attacked on the basis of being Christian. And we have been attacked on the basis being Slavic, being Czechs, as a minority, right? Openly, everywhere, in the business, in the store, in the office, everywhere. Yeah. This is common practice in Canada. So, if you're talking about Jewish, okay, so I'm going to tell you, and you have to remember this, whenever you think that I use the word Jewish, I am a survivor of the Second World War. After the war, vast majority of the people which were in concentration camps went for the rehabilitation to be put back to the life. So they came to the Czech Republic at the time because we have enough food and everything right after the war. So we were already able to bring them up. And we got the supplies from the United States to help these people. And I met a person, a Jewish person, coming from the concentration camp. My family, my parents, were babysitting. Okay, they were people were asked to help these people. And we were helping. And even my father, because he was a businessman, he gave this Jewish person a job. And after that, he left because they were transport for the Jews to the Israel. And whatever I remember, he always, for Christmas time, sent a present to my parents and sent the presents to my sister and to me, for whatever I remember. So there is no religious problem in here.
Well, why do you even say that, though? Like, if I went to a dentist and the dentist made a mistake and I decided I was going to protest against that dentist, I might say that he's a bad dentist, but it wouldn't ever occur to me that I would say, mention his religion. I would have nothing to do with the job.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Okay, Mr.
Pepez, I interpret that as attack on the religion.
You know, Mr. Pepez, I'm going to get you to be quiet for a little while, okay?
Yeah.
And the reason why is because I gave you lots of opportunity at the beginning to explain kind of the background, okay? But we need to stick to the point here, otherwise we could be here all day. So, you brought it up, and we're going to talk about it, okay? So here are the words from your signs just this year, okay? So, Justice for All, Alan Hebner and Harvey Kane are two rotten, evil Jews. So, I agree with Mr. Holtby. If you have a problem with Alain or any other lawyer or any other person, and you've got a dispute with them, that's one thing. But by using that verbiage, what you're doing now is you're creating a situation where you're making it about religion. No, you listen, okay? You need to listen, okay? You are making it about Jewish people. And by making it about Jewish people, and also this Chuck Tan is a Chinese beast, death penalty for them all by public hanging at the Saddle Dome. So that kind of language where you're using evil Jews, Chinese beast. Again, in February the 22nd, Alan Hebner and Harvey Kane are two rotten evil Jews. On the 14th of February, your sign said Hebner and Harvey Kane are two very bad Jews. So what we're seeing here is a common theme. And you bring listen. You need to listen, okay? Because I don't want to get into an argument about why you.
Okay, I need a piece of paper.
You know what?
Write something down.
Here, we're gonna look through, okay, what the Human Rights Commission actually said about this investigation in the 90s, and we're gonna look at some of the same kind of comments that you're putting.
Can I get a piece of paper so I can?
I don't have that.
Well, I'll give you a piece of paper, but let Mr. Right?
The point here is that you're using the same kind of language that you were using 10, 15 years ago that got you into trouble with the Human Rights Complaint Commission. Right? And that type of language they said in here, and we'll talk about that, was discriminatory. And it caused those people named that you were naming, like Hebner and Kane, to feel like they were being discriminated against. Okay, so from 1998... you started mentioning Hebner, which I understand why, because obviously you're still angry and frustrated about what had happened, right? So he's mentioned several times in here, in some of your different... And then here it's mentioned in one of your silver bullets. Next target in the silver bullet were government's courts and Jewish lawyers, Hebner, Dorchik, and such. So again, you're mentioning the fact that they're Jewish, which is really irrelevant. In 1995, one of your publications, you said, and you were talking about Alberta's population is mostly big liars, mentally sick subhumans, and Nazi rednecks. The kind of population our forefathers in Europe during the Second World War hung on trees, they blew their brains out with machine guns, and after the war they hung them in mass hangings for everybody to see and enjoy. Again, another volume two, several bullet number two, A. Hebner, QC, is a Jewish coward. Again, you know, mentioning the fact that he's Jewish. Today, everything points to that the corruption is organized by a small Jewish gang, this Jewish mafia, as members like Jewish pervert A. Hebner. Okay, and then again, another excerpt here. Jewish master of torture A. Hebner. Now look at Jewish company Hoffman and Dorchik. As you see, this Jewish mafia is doing the same thing what the German Nazis did to other nations. Talk about Jewish gangs again. You do the same thing with the Chinese cowards and Nazis, Calgary Chinese Nazis. Here in Volume 6, March 1st, 1998, I strongly recommend Hitler's personal solution. The entire Calgary Chinese population must round up, all the men to be cremated alive, all the babies to be drowned in the Bow River in front of mother's eyes, all unborn babies to be aborted, all the women deported to the deserted island in the Pacific, and all the children sent to India for re-education. And then you make the comment here, in another quote, rotten, bloody, stupid, immoral, subhuman, without class, without culture, without manners, right? Talking about the Calgary Chinese Cultural Center. In your 1996 edition, you said Hebner should be jailed in Auschwitz. Alan Hebner, you all deserve to be jailed in Auschwitz. Well, Auschwitz were Jewish people. No, let's just listen, okay? Auschwitz is where Jewish people were killed. There were lots of Jewish people killed there. So when you make a statement like that, basically what you're saying is that he should have been one of the Jews that was burned there in Auschwitz, okay? So this is a very long document. We're not going to go over all of it, but I just wanted to point out that some of the wording that you were using back then, you are using in your science today, okay? And basically, their judgment was, and I'll just read some of it here, and I'll give you a copy after so you can take it home and kind of go over it to remind yourself of what the commission said to you.
We have that. We have the complete script.
All right. So the material published and or displayed as part of the Silver Bullet is an anthology of accusations, criticisms, insults, and denunciations reflecting the respondents' personal views unsupported by reasonable grounds. The tone of their communications is often menacing and threatening. The consequences they perceive for those they criticize are extreme and at times irrational. So here's what I think kind of sums it up. The respondents have elevated a personal cause or vendetta into a public forum involving more than the individuals with whom they have had negative personal interactions. Once in the public forum, they have attempted to empower their cause by inflaming their attacks on individuals and classes of persons by the use of language and image in symbol meant to evoke a strong reaction. They have singled out persons and classes of persons based on religious beliefs, race, ancestry, and cultural background. They have utilized terms and phrases that they know or ought to have known have historical roots of extremely negative oppressive experiences. Then they go on to talk about, you know, to call someone a Nazi might be said to mean that they are the worst of the worst, that they are autocratic and oppressive of other people's rights. This could be insulting and offensive to many people. However, to call a Jewish person a Nazi conjures up strong and powerful images of the Holocaust, reinforcing the history of persecution to which Jewish people have been subjected. It is to make the person the worst traitor among his kind. This can be nothing less than deliberately discriminatory. Okay, so this is what the commission is saying about the language that you're using at the time. Okay, and then again, but to publicly address someone by name and religion, right, as the respondents did with respect to Mr. Alan Hebner, is clearly discriminatory. So even back then, the commission told you that that kind of language and making religious references was discriminatory under the human rights legislation in Alberta, right? And then again, here, one last thing. To identify a class of persons protected under our legislation, such as the respondents did with respect to Asian people, particularly those of Chinese descent, and to suggest that they face annihilation and persecution in Hitler's personal solution and that all unborn babies be aborted is blatantly racist and discriminatory. And at the end of the day, they said that you needed to cease and desist, right? So the reason I bring it up is because there's a common thread here, right? Same language, references to Alan Hebner. You were told by the Human Rights Commission to cease and desist.
And that order still is in effect.
Okay. Now, as the police, we just deal with the criminal aspect, right? But what it means for me as the hate crimes coordinator for the Calgary Police Services, so we'll be very closely monitoring your activity, okay? If you cross the line in the verbiage on your signs, you'll be charged with promoting hatred or publicly inciting hatred, okay? It's going to happen. And I understand why you're frustrated. You know, I didn't have to live through what you guys lived through. And unfortunately, sometimes people don't do a very good job at their job. And I don't know if that was the case. It sort of sounds like that was the case. The ball was dropped. And, you know, unfortunately, I've been a policeman for 25 years. And you know what? We all make mistakes. I've made mistakes in investigations that have caused things to go sideways. I've been to court and watched as judges made poor decisions or as inexperienced lawyers didn't do a great job. You know what? It happens. The issue, though, you guys, is that you're making this more than just personal. What you're doing by using terms like Nazi, Jew, Chinese beast, what you're doing now is you're bringing in a whole class of people into it. And your experiences are very unique, you know, because of your age and what you lived through, you know, and you're talking about how your population was oppressed for 300 years. You know what? I can see that. But what you're doing, maybe inadvertently, you may not even mean to do this, but what you're doing is the same kind of thing that others were imposing on your population. Because what you're doing is you're causing discrimination, and you're encouraging other people to discriminate against a certain group of people. The fact that Mr. Alain Hebner is Jewish has got nothing to do at all with what happened to you. Maybe incompetence did, or inexperience, but certainly not the fact that he's Jewish. And you guys, you know what? You know what? I've met you and I've been here with you for a while. You seem like real decent people, but you got to stop with the Jewish stuff. references to race, religion, it's not allowed. It's not allowed, and you're going to get yourselves. You know, I can't make a complaint to the Human Rights Commission, but Alan can. And so can a member of the public. And we have had complaints. There's people in the Jewish community who are very upset about your signs. If one of them chooses to make a complaint to the Human Rights Commission, you will find yourselves back there.
Well, because there's a precedent,
you're going to get you're going to get a bigger fine and more consequences.
And I can make a complaint. And I can guarantee you if it doesn't stop, I won't make a complaint.
Okay, I want to say what I have to say. How come we are not protected by the human rights and by the government? How come we never been protected? We were exposed to the attack of the Chuck Tam from Chinese community, who was director of Chinese Cultural Center, without any provocation. After the trial which we have gone through with Mr. Spark, Christopher Spark, we got into the situation that he attacked us in shopping center.
Mr.
Chuck Tam.
Okay.
How long ago? What year are we talking
about?
That was
just 2 years later.
Okay, so we're still talking about that.
Okay, I just want to finish that. Okay, this is the problem. We stood up and we led him to beat us up. My wife was injured. Can you imagine that? And we end up, because we were afraid that we're going to be charged like we were charged first time, so we let him beat us up. And we were convicted that we beat him up. And there is no record from that trial. It doesn't exist. The trial took a whole month. 1 hour here, 1 hour there. And he was director of Chinese Cultural Center. And he was actually complaining to the policeman which was in charge of communication with Chinese Cultural Center. He's now, his name is Lani Fritz, and he is
leader of the University
of Calgary security system, okay? And nobody cares, okay? I am not asking for almost 40 years nothing else than to get a fair treatment. Nothing else.
What happened with Mr. Tam? Were you charged?
Charges by private info. I don't have it here with me. I didn't take it. But if you want it. So what it is, he beat us up, okay? And this was framed of the Sparks, okay? Don't forget that, okay? Because of the friend of the Spark, he went to beat us up like the Spark beat us up. Okay?
What's the context? Like, how, I don't understand.
I really don't understand why.
Where did this happen, this assault? Like
Deerfoot Mall.
You ran into him at Deerfoot Mall?
Yes.
And then what happened there that it ended up that you got assaulted?
He just assaulted us, period. We were, okay, there was a run, okay, out of that, when we get confident, the whole street knew that we are them Russians and we are bad people, but everything. So he was worked out and he went to give it to us. And he gave it to us. And not only that, he laid two charges. This was interesting. He laid charges.
What happened to those charges?
Convicted. And guess what? What was the most interesting thing? That he was sentenced to the jail. And you know what? There is no record of that trial. There is no record in National Depository for Criminal Records about it. And he was on the weekends, I don't know, 2 months or 3 months, was going to jail on the weekends. No, I think that I deserve explanation for this.
Well,
if nothing else, I deserve the explanation. And this is clearly related to the Hepner and clearly related to the Sparks and clearly related to the situation.
But again, the fact that Mr. Tam is Asian has nothing to do with that.
You know what he's got to do with it? Because in his charges, he claims that we are anti-Chinese, that we are racist against the Chinese community, and he brought all the hierarchy of Chinese community right into the courtroom when the first session in the court started. And those guys, when they heard the testimonies, okay, they left the courtroom. His own people left the courtroom to listen to that crap, what he got to say. His own people left the courtroom. And we brought four witnesses of what happened in that shopping mall, and one we have to brought from Quebec because she was here for a sound job.
Right.
Okay, we paid everything. And that's what came out of it. Okay, if I can see, okay, that this system is working, and all this system is prepared to correct the mistakes. You know, I tell you what, I was mentioning to they pick up the party members and kill them, sending them to death penalty by hanging. And they rehabilitate them in 15 years. There is no such a thing to rehabilitate people in here. We deserve the rehabilitation. We deserve the rehabilitation for something. First of all, we didn't do. And it's not even a record of it.
Well, that was a long time ago. I mean, things have changed.
It's a long time ago. 35
years is a long time
okay?
ago.
For 75 years, every year, I am looking for it to get the justice. I never stop because that's the way I was brought up.
But this isn't the way to do it, though. This isn't going to accomplish that.
Okay, I went through all the rules. Just name it, okay? Minister of Justice of Alberta, Minister of Justice of Canada, everybody. And everybody, nobody. Press never in 35 years wrote our side of the story. Now, what kind of press is that?
But you know why that is, Mr. Perez?
I don't know.
That's because you use language like this.
No.
So nobody takes
no.
you. Nobody takes your side because they get angry because
this
you use
is,
this language.
This is too late. I was to the press second day after the trial was happening. And I was pounding under this door. And when I couldn't get anywhere, I started to write a silver bullet. So way before the silver bullet, I was pursuing every possible avenue. And I'm going to tell you one most interesting thing what we're talking about in here. In 1980, I think, I don't know, remember, I would have to find out, but we are moving. So we have everything packed up, so it will be very difficult. But it was one of those years. We filed a complaint. Actually, that was after the trial with Chuck Tom. We filed a complaint to the Human Rights Commission for the treatment we received in the courtroom and about how we were treated by press and everybody else in here. And you know what happened? Human Rights Commission said that we're not going to investigate that. So what is the difference between me being a minority in Slavic and the Human Rights Commission says go to hell? But if another minority comes to complain, they listen. So I am not treated equally by Human Rights Commission. So if this Human Rights Commission is going to treat me equally, then I'm going to say fine.
Okay. So when we're talking about the language that was used in here then.
Okay.
So
you know, I'm going to tell
see,
you one thing, okay? I tell you one thing, okay? Okay,
so
I have. Man of seeing a fair and justice treatment, okay, and I go by that. I wouldn't hurt and I wouldn't lie. I wouldn't do anything wrong to anybody.
Mr. Pepez, you're doing the same thing that you are accusing other people of doing to you
okay.
because of your Slavic. You're doing the same thing. You're creating an environment where it's discriminatory and racist towards other people, Chinese people, Jewish
okay.
people in this case.
You know
so
what?
You're doing the same thing. And what we're telling you as the Crown Prosecutor and the police is you cannot. And if you continue, there's going to be consequences.
Can I?
Yes.
You're stopping me when I want to make a solid statement and when you interrupt me, I'm losing the continuation because we're going jumping from one to the other. I can be finishing 2-3 minutes now you hold me up. The fact is that we have to look at it this way. The Canadian society is a racist, a Nazi society anyway.
It's not a Nazi society.
Now you're, okay. You know what?
There are people who are racist, As a country, I
okay,
would say
you already stopped me again.
Well, because you're going in a direction here that...
Okay, let me finish. Let me finish. You have, right now, starting a revolution of Aboriginal nations. And they're not going to stop until they get what they want. We, as a Canadian, and me too, because I can do nothing about it, we are rated around the world. You don't know that because you told me just now. Like South Africans, apartheid people,
and like the German Nazis,
most of the Canadians don't understand the basic issue that the Tsuut'ina Nation, or that nation of Aboriginal people, is a nation. It's a nation that, like,
what have you done to help those people?
Well, I brought them. In my silver bullet, I wrote about these people. I wrote about the borderline between Tsuut'ina Nation. I have done enough, and I communicate with them enough.
Wouldn't it be more constructive to work with them and protest about their conditions than to carry on with something that's 35 years old?
I'm
going to
tell you something. The problem is, these people has to fight their battle on their own. We, as a Canadian, we can give them support in their protest. Now, they run the protest. There was nobody across the Canada from the Canadians to give a support to the Aboriginal nations whatsoever. They were protesting every country. And that is why I'm telling you right now that that situation in Aboriginal nations in Europe or most countries in the world right now, we are rated like Nazis. Like Hitler occupied one country after the other. We're treating these people like during the Second World War the nations in Europe has been treated. Because the Canadian people don't understand that these people are nations. Look at it this way. That's why I was telling you, we are 300 years. You cannot destroy the nation. We cannot destroy these Aboriginal nations.
No, you know what, Mr. Profez, I understand. Okay, I'm part Aboriginal, and I totally get the whole picture here in Canada when it comes to Aboriginal people. Okay?
Yeah, that's good.
But that's a side issue here. Okay, and we could have a week long discussion about this situation.
I use the word Nazi. I see the Canadian behavior against Aboriginal people is exactly what we saw in Europe.
You could go out and say that. You could go out with a sign saying, Canada is a Nazi society. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you... That has to do about behavior. It has nothing to do with race or religion. And what you're doing in respect of Jewish people and Asian people is tying them all together because of their race and religion, not because of their behavior.
It's not a sign saying
Canada is a Nazi state.
This isn't all. This is these two and him. This isn't all. This isn't against all.
No, but the language makes it against all. Because when you make it about religion, then, and that's what the Human Rights Commission said. They said, by using that kind of language, you are being discriminatory, and it causes other people to feel that they are part of this thing. Right? Okay. You took, and that's exactly what they said.
Okay, this is
you took a personal vendetta, a personal dispute with somebody, and you put it out into the public domain by using that kind of language, right? And that's the problem. You can't do that.
You know what? This is not a problem in a democratic society. Because in a democracy, we solve the problems by debate. That's why it's here, silver bullet. And that's why anybody has an opportunity and could say, hey, you really, what you're saying, somebody should say, you know, and engage into the debate of the explanation.
But you can't have a debate when you use that kind of language.
Okay, you know what?
It just becomes hateful, right? It just becomes hateful. It's not a debate. It's spewing hatred against
this
a particular group of people.
Opinion. We have to go by the fact.
It's not an opinion.
Okay.
It's legislation, Alberta Human Rights Legislation.
Yeah, I understand.
It's criminal
code.
I know
the reason this came into force was because Well, the reason the criminal laws came in force is because of exactly what happened in Germany.
Yeah.
That people began to make statements and publish things about Jewish people that were the precursors to people hating them and eventually trying to exterminate them. So this is all designed to stop hatred before it turns into hateful acts.
Okay.
And it's not allowed in Canada. It's as simple as that.
If it's not allowed, why the government is using it against me?
We're not.
Yes, you're not. You're not. You convicted me in the court and you didn't even keep a record of it.
No.
You didn't, I cannot even find what happened with that. And you know what? When I was in that courtroom, I was defending the case myself. And he laid two charges because we never finished it, what really happened. First, he laid the first charges. But I managed, because he attacked us, I had witnesses, I laid charges against him that he committed assault against us. So he had to lay different charges, but these first charges were not good enough. Now I had two charges against my family. You know what? I went into that courtroom. I have actually a friend lawyer which I was working with, probably Lindsay Neville. You may remember Lindsay.
No.
He died of cancer.
Yeah. No.
Okay? And he told me, if you're going to go into that courtroom, you're going to get massacred. Get yourself a lawyer, because he was suspended for some time. You're going to get massacred. Now, what kind of justice system are we talking about? If I'm going to go and try to defend myself, I'm going to get massacred. So you know what? After that,
but you
case,
can say that,
let
Mr.
me finish. Let
you
me
have finish. A sign saying the justice system is terrible.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Okay.
That, you know, you're, I,
okay,
in
let
some
me
ways,
finish.
It can be
let me finish. After the trial was finished, then I was told, you know, you didn't get massacred because you know how to win the case by losing. Well, this is the Canadian justice system, my friend.
So a long time ago, Mr.
But that's, right. That's not
so,
that long.
Well,
and
that,
okay, this if this is 35 years ago, not only that should have been corrected,
well,
20 years ago should be corrected now.
Let me ask you this question. Why do you put the word Jews in your signs?
Listen, because he is a Jewish and he did it as a Jewish person, as a Jewish person, he should know better. He, from the experience, what Second World War caused. Okay, we cannot only speak about the Jews. We have to remember that they were Gypsies.
Oh, yeah.
And we Czechs. Just
and
make
black
it straight.
People,
we were at number
Jews,
three.
Okay.
We were on the three on Hitler's list to be exterminated. So that goes to everyody. It's
no,
we
know,
are. We
I
were
know,
in the
I
same boat
that.
As the Jews.
I know that.
Okay? So... he is a Jewish person, and the Jewish community in Calgary should know that Hitler shouldn't do that. As a Jewish person, he had enough knowledge and enough experience not to do this kind of things, because this is what was happening to Jewish people. And why? He did it to the another minority like us.
Yeah, but you're doing the same thing. If you're alleging that that's the case, but you're doing
okay,
the same thing by the language that you're using.
Okay.
You are, what you're doing, okay, is you're spewing hatred and you're being discriminatory. And what you're doing is you're drawing all Jewish people into your issue.
Yeah, okay, they should tell the Hebner what to do.
Okay.
They should, they know what happened.
Okay.
But that's not the point. Let me say this for this issue right now, okay? We have this situation. And I'm criticized what I am using. Okay? Everybody goes, Human Rights Commission and everybody, newspaper writes again. Okay, I lost whatever was written in the newspaper, okay? I lost completely my reputation within my Czech community in here. I was abandoned by my Czech community because what was written about me. And I was also, this message has been passed to the Czech Republic. So all my friends down there, they say, hey, what's going on,
yeah.
Right? Who they going to trust? Okay, Canada has a very good reputation. So 50-50, 50% people going to believe to me, 50% will believe to the government. Now things are changing. Now when the protest is going around the world, for Aboriginal people. Trust of the Canadian government is going down. So my position, especially in my home country, may change rapidly. I don't know how much is going to change in here. But we have to understand, and this is the one thing what Hepner should have understand, right? Because these people, these Sparks, they did one more thing. They just happened to find one person from Czech committee, which I was a member at the same time as well, passed the message that we are the bad people to the Czech community right at the time that it happened.
Okay.
So do you understand?
I understand.
We live under this.
I understand.
And we are one family, and we supposed to be protected by Human Rights Commission, and Human Rights Commission said we don't care about you. A Human Rights Commission. And when somebody else goes to complain, they respect them. They don't respect our minority.
Okay. So what I can see here, and we're going to wrap up here because everyone has things to do, but I can see that you're very frustrated, and obviously this struck deep to your heart for it to still be burning 35 years later. And I can't speak to what happened back then. It sounds like some incompetence certainly happened. But the bottom line is this, okay, is that in terms of your signs, you need to stop with the Jewish comments and the racist comments, okay? What's going to happen here downtown, and I'm going to make sure that our members are aware, because a lot of times they don't really know how to deal with these signs. But what we're going to do is every time we come across those signs, we're going to be taking a photograph, or we're going to take the sign, and we're going to examine every complaint that we get from the public about the signs, and we're going to make a determination whether it fits the criminal code threshold for promoting hatred or inciting hatred. Okay? That's what the police are going to do. If we continue to get lots of complaints about the intimidating behavior on the sidewalk, then our members are going to deal with that however they deal with that, like whether it's causing disturbance or using city bylaws or whatever. Okay? Because that's another issue in terms of sometimes you get, you're quite animated. Some people get quite intimidated by that. Okay? In terms of the Human Rights the Commission, that's beyond the police, right? But I can tell you that at some point, somebody in the Jewish community, or Alain, or somebody, is going to make a complaint.
And
it's going to go. It will go to the commission.
Or one of the prosecutors.
And there will be consequences for you. Now, that's got nothing to do with me, but I'm just telling you. Now, the other thing is that there's some civil liabilities here, too, that you're probably open to. And, if Mr. Hebner were to choose to do that, and he's a lawyer, and he works in a community of lawyers. If he were to choose to take some action in terms of libel, or like I'm not very well versed in all that kind of thing, because police don't deal with civil law, but I would imagine that there is also some consequences that could be had at that point. So you need to make a decision, okay? You need to make a decision, the two of you, as to where you go from here. You are entitled to your opinion, you are entitled to freedom of expression, right? But there are limits on that. So if you choose to continue down using this kind of language, okay, there's going to be consequences, and like you seem like a real guy, and I don't want to see that happen, but we're going in that direction now, because we've had 4 complaints in 2012. As the police, we are obligated. When people phone us and make a complaint, we are obligated to investigate that. And if there's evidence that there's an offense been committed, then, we're going to lay charges, right?
Okay.
So you need to understand that, okay? Because I really don't want to see that. I don't want to see that happen. I would prefer if you did your protest activities, modified them in such a way that you weren't using those kind of terms, you weren't making it personal, and that's your right, and we will protect your right to do that. But this has got to stop. Okay? Do you understand?
Okay, I can explain my position. Okay, to go as far as I went is totally against my character, and I would say even against character of my son. But guess what? This was the last resort. We are here, and we're talking right now. Mr. Knappers, you are a policeman, and we're talking mess, extreme mess, created against a minority, us. And nobody in 75 years offer us the help. How come? So we went to the last resort. To the last resort. This is the last resort. This is not, you think I have a pleasure from that? I hate it probably more than anybody who is offended by it.
Yeah, no,
you may not even believe it, but I'm just telling you. I hate to do that. But I am doing it as a last resort. And you know what? What we're talking about in here, we're talking about the same thing would happen in 1968 in Czech Republic. We were making socialist system with human face. And they sent 1.5 million soldiers and 15 million people in Czechoslovakia to stop them. And we wrote the signs telling the soldiers, what's wrong here? Why you are here? And we destroyed that army. 1.5 million soldiers has to be exchanged after 4 days of the occupation. They have to send new forces. And to normalize the situation in the Czech Republic, our president and prime minister in Moscow has to sign to the Brezhnev that we're going to remove the signs on the streets. So they can send new army, which is, they can tell that there was a contra-revolution. For me, you're doing the same thing with the Brezhnev was doing. Instead of diffuse and find a solution to the problem, let's terminate the signs. So, if that is your case, I guess we're going to have to do that.
Well, but we have an obligation. Like
yeah, I know you have obligation, but you have obligation to the minority like me. Because if you want to make yourself democracy or whatever, we are not only one person in a minority. There is lots of people like us from the minorities and even from Canadians. And I think that is the time to correct the mistakes. There is somebody, everybody knows that this was happening, this is happening, and if you want to make a Canada the democracy, you have to do that. You're going to do that one day. Everybody has done it. South Africa did it, or everybody else did it. Even the German people did it. Everybody has done it, and it's your turn. You're going to have to do that. And if it's not going to happen this year, it's going to happen 10 years down the road. But if you understand what is really happening in here, you have to make a change. And you will make the change. Because you still don't understand what is right now happening outside with Aboriginal nations.
Well, are you a Canadian citizen?
Yes.
Okay, so you can vote. And we're not saying you can't put up signs. We're saying you just have to watch.
Okay, I can figure out how to put up those signs and get around this, okay? But I have carried out, okay, if you're going to look at that, for example, what happened in Jacktown, when everything is fair, clear, and open, okay? I should have succeeded. I should get the justice under the circumstances what happened in that case. And I am not able to do that. That means you have a serious problem, not me. I only pursue every avenue open to me to bring the change. In the United States, it took Obama to bring the change to the United States. So I can only tell you one thing. You need Obama in Canada right now. We, okay, I'm saying you. I'm taking you because you are standing against me, but I am a Canadian too, okay? And I can tell you I'm probably more Canadian than you are, because I am as much Canadian as I was a Czech. And as a Czech, we are very strong Czechs. We are all patriots. So I am just as, I'm probably better, because there's many Canadians which Canada doesn't mean too much. Yeah? I'm British, so I'm more British than Canadian, okay? So I have a problem with that, okay? But I am not Canadian enough, but he is Canadian enough, okay? This is very fun. Anyway, gentlemen, I get your point, okay? I can see...
The law is protecting the criminals.
You know, the law protecting criminals, yes. Because... You cannot say that you cannot admit. Basically, you are in a position which I find in the past. You cannot admit that Hepner screwed up as much as possibly he could, and that he had all this time to fix it.
He can't fix it, though. If you were to get Ali Hepner today to defend you or your son for something that you need to go to court for, you would have one of the best lawyers in the city defending you. But 35 years ago, he was just out of school, he was just starting. So were mistakes made? Maybe there were. But you know what?
Everybody has to correct his own mistakes.
What profession do you have, Mr.
I was engineer.
Did you ever make a mistake when you were early on in your career?
Yes, but I corrected.
Well,
I corrected.
No
when
way,
I made a
no
mistake, I corrected.
Correct that.
Every time, I didn't make that many mistakes. You know, I have one advantage. I am kind of more innovative, you know. So I make a project and we test it.
In my business, not everything can be corrected.
You know what? You know, I will tell you, it can be corrected, because it was corrected by communists in the Czech Republic with apology to everyone who was persecuted wrongfully, and people which may have been sent to the long sentences by the communist system received the amnesty. There is a way only to do it, but you don't want to do it.
Well,
what are you looking
for?
You
know, I want
a fair result from the court, fair trial.
Like, if I could get a transcript.
There's no way to go back.
If I could get a transcript of these trials, like, I can't get a transcript for something that's 35 years old. Like, I think we keep our records for 30 years.
Okay, I have a transcript from Spot. Okay, if you want, I have it. Okay.
Well,
that's not the issue. Issue is, I couldn't get the transcript from Jack Tom because somebody threw it on the garbage. The transcript never exists. And that's a fraud on the ultimate level of the court. And you're trying to tell me that's just too bad, that's our system? That's what you're telling me.
No, that was 35 years ago. What we're saying is that...
That doesn't matter when
things do improve. Things do improve. The police do things very, very differently, for example, than we did 35 years ago.
We didn't have the Charter of Rights 35 years ago.
Oh, you did?
We did not.
Until 1982.
That was modifying, but the Charter of Rights has been signed by John Diefenbaker. What are you talking about?
Bill of Rights.
Bill of Rights, yeah.
But the Charter of Rights didn't come into effect.
But it still doesn't matter, okay? They are the things which make common sense. And if you want to keep your reputation, okay, whatever happened to us, okay, it happened to the Aboriginal people as well, or maybe even worse, right? And these things are going to come out. And they're going to come out because the Aboriginal people now, their voice is heard around the world. So you're going to have to do something about it eventually anyway. You're living from the old-fashioned politics which has been here around for a long time. But you're going to have to give in. How about South Africa? Same. How many people were... Mandela was 25 years in prison and was completely rehabilitated. You're going to have to do that. You are the lawmaker. You are in the system. You're going to have to do that. Because you cannot even sort out the problem of L'Oreal today, you know? You can fix that.
Well, we can't fix everything, that's for sure.
Okay? Yeah. That's how bad
But
it
that's
is.
What we're fighting for. We want to fix that. We want to fix it.
Okay, obviously you find a way to see that we may be doing something wrong. But I'm going to tell you, both of you, okay, whatever you're trying to stop, or whatever you think that I'm doing wrong, it doesn't exist. You're actually shooting the blanks, okay? Because that never happened.
Well, we're
that just get that message.
We're not, obviously not going to agree on everything, but yeah. You know our position.
I know your position, okay? So, you know, what do you...
I'm very grateful you came to talk to us. I appreciate that.
You see, I am a man who's going to talk. If somebody asks me to come to talk, I will come to talk.
Would you talk with Mr. Hepburn?
I would talk to him.
He chased us down the street the other day.
Yeah,
like a hoodlum.
He would come in here and they would bring him in here. I'm going to tell him to the face. And he was chasing us on the street. Happening.
Like a hoodlum.
I want to talk to you.
No, like a hoodlum.
I want to talk to him on the street. That he wants to talk to me. Let's sit down in the restaurant. Let's sit down to the table.
Sure, if you want to talk to you or not.
Okay, you know, I like this, okay? You're not sure, okay? You obviously cannot admit that this is a possibility which happened, but this really happened.
We have admitted it. I've listened to what you guys said about what happened 35 years ago, and I wasn't there, but I can totally see that.
Things went awry there, and it only happened
to you. It happened to other people. Sometimes things just don't go their way, and it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And
you know what?
Unfortunately, justice doesn't always prevail.
Okay.
And sometimes bad guys get away with doing bad things. And sometimes, unfortunately, people who shouldn't get convicted get convicted. It doesn't happen very often anymore, but it does still happen.
Yeah.
And it's because we're all human, and it's a human system. And people make mistakes, and some people are incompetent. And unfortunately, you guys sound like you suffered that.
Okay.
But that was a long time ago. And we can't keep going over and over again. Like,
you know
what? Can't change
what
biggest
suffering which we suffered was after the decision of Human Rights Commission, which refused to hear our case.
Well, they didn't
and
hear
a case against us.
Yeah.
Hear the case against us.
Yeah.
As a result, we lost the jobs. We couldn't get a job. Everybody was looking at us that we are a dirt, worse dirt on this planet.
They still do.
I still do.
And until that gets fixed.
Yeah, but that's because you used some of your actions.
No, because they didn't allow me to present the evidence to the Human Rights Commission. They never allowed me to mention that we produced the play about the Holocaust and play it in the Pub House Theater. We wrote it. And that was my defense to that hearing, which you were reading in here.
Right.
And they didn't allow me to present that evidence. They didn't allow. They stopped me every time I was trying to prove that this is not what you're saying it is. They wanted to make sure that we're going to get convicted. And that was a fraud. This was fabricated and manufactured all the way from Harvey came to the members of that committee. Because if they don't understand that we are a minority and we were the ones which came in a line properly to complain to the Human Rights Commission that our rights were violated, and they told us we're not going to investigate.
Well, they can't get involved in a court matter. Listen to me.
There was a court matter.
You're being a little bit... Like, if you go to court in a criminal case... And then it doesn't go your way, and you're not happy the way things went there. You can't go to the Human Rights Commission.
That wasn't the issue.
Like
we didn't complain about the court case. We were complaining about how we were treated. How we were treated by AGT, for example. It took me a month before I got that name of that personality. That has nothing to do with the court.
Okay.
They were refusing because they don't have to give it to me. So it took me quiet time. And I used a trick to get that I got it.
Well,
I couldn't get
it. Got it at all, to be honest. But
you know what?
We have to get a court
order. I tell you how I did it, okay? Just, not all the lawyers are as smart as you, okay? I walked into the law office and there was another headman in the office. And I asked him if he can find out who made these telephone calls. And he found out and gave it to me. But
so
anyway,
I guess we can agree to disagree on some things. I think we're both appreciative of the fact that you met with us today, and I myself personally I enjoyed listening to your personal experience. It's very interesting, you know, what you had to say, and I appreciate you sharing with us the background, because it does provide some understanding on my part. as to why you feel so strongly about this, and that's a good thing. You know, there's some understanding there, right? I just hope that you know, you understand kind of what the position,
you know,
of
what?
Police is, and you know, I really don't want to have that situation where we end up dealing with each other in a
you
normal
know,
way.
This is only one half what you did. What you're doing in here is only 50%. Because you got from us, we came and we talked. Now it's your job to talk to that the other half and tell them what you heard.
And I will have a conversation with him.
Sure will.
And I am going to have a conversation with him. Because I did mention to him that we were going to meet.
Well, that's not it. That should be mentioned also to the Human Rights Commission. And to the Jewish community as well, because they don't know. How do they know?
Well,
because the press wouldn't write it. They wouldn't write our side. If they would write our side of the story, then people can make up their own opinion.
Yeah.
But if the press, we don't have a freedom of... Why have a silver bullet? Because the press is not going to print. I don't mean the stuff which is... you're saying that would be offensive, whatever... I wouldn't even ask them to write it because I'm saying that's extreme, that's a last resort, right? But whatever we are explaining to you what happened, they should have wrote it. And if they didn't, they discriminate. Minority. Because people don't know what really happened. They know only one half of the story. So that's our position. If people know one half of the story, how we can get the other half story across? We don't have 100,000 prints of newspaper every day, or 300,000 of Calgary Sun. We can do only so little. So the problem actually is not only, that's a press, that's everything. And this is problem in every country, which is having the same system as we have in Canada right now. We need the freedom of the press.
No, I know. It's a problem to have your voice heard in a big society like ours. But this is not the way to do it.
Okay, just a second. If they print one side, they have to print the other side.
Well, they don't.
They don't. So, I have to print it.
Yeah.
And if I want to reach... bigger paper, I have to do whatever it takes. That's what I need.
Well, it's easier now with the internet. As long as you
I know, still,
don't reach anyone.
Still, the internet is not answer to this problem because we're still facing the officiality of the issue. The system is designed in such a way that people believe what is written in the newspaper and what is published by the newspaper, TV, and radio, right? Now, if you have individual case and individual writing, that is not taken seriously. So that's not equal. No matter how good internet is, I tell you what. What is very interesting thing is that internet is doing its job. Whatever we discuss in here today, whatever I was telling you. People getting it in 50 countries around the world. We have our website.
Yeah.
Everything is posted on the website. Whatever we're talking, whatever we did, and why we did this. You didn't have to even look, we didn't even have to call us in here. You can just get on our website, you could have read it. Everything is there.
Well, I better go, but...
We better
wrap up.
Yeah,
I want to go speak. Okay, so I'm ready.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, good.
That's how it is.
So,
if you have any issues which you want to find out and which
And what is your website? I will go and I'll take a look.
Milan Papes Jr. The two vice Milan Papes. One's SR, senior,
yes.
And one's junior.
All in one.
All in one.
Whole long name.
.ca.com.
Sorry?
It's all one word.
Okay.
.ca or .com. There's two of them.
We have two websites.
Okay.
You know what? The thing is that we have a difficulty is that somebody tried to cancel our website. So
okay.
We launch one more website in Czech Republic. Okay. So we have one website which is hosted in Czech Republic and one which is hosted here in Canada. So if you have any questions or any issue which we have been discussing, right? And if you want to find more, then it's there.
Okay, and I have the number, so I can call. It was nice meeting you both. Thank you very much for taking time out of your day to chat with us.
So
I like that because I would bring it to, I wouldn't give you head if they would be crossing. You know? So I hope that that you are satisfied with what you have.
I understand more, and I also
respect you
for coming to talk.
What I am trying to accomplish, basically, is close the issue, to get this message to those who complaining.
Yeah.
If those people who complaining would know what we got to say, they wouldn't complain.
Yeah.
Okay, take care. Thank you very much.
Jdeme tady v Inglewood, je Starbucks. Jedeme do Inglewood, do Starbucks. Já musím na záchod a...
You know, oni nevěděli, co mají říkat.
Tady je lát, ty ho breakuješ. Přestaň ho breakovat.
I hope, že jsi to všechno natočil.
No, jdeme na kafé. A jdeme, ok, já jsem nenatáčel toho policajta in the beginning.
Well, that's okay.
Až přišel ten Crown Prosecutor.
Well, that's okay, that's good enough. To, co jsme tam povídali, to bylo of the thing. But the one thing is, you didn't want to do
it. Listen.
Really, clearly.
Clearly, celý police department. Budeme díl dneska. My ten krát nějak přežijeme a zůstaneme tam díl do večera, zase do 6 hodin nějak, do 7.
No, tam se to vyprázdní. Na večeři ve 4
hodin. Protože my tam nemůžeme být tak brzo, my tam můžeme být v 1 hodinu, protože já se potřebuji na ten tady podívat.
Tam těžko dojede, ale můžeme.
Můžeme tam být, já se jako potřebuji dělat nějakou hořka, jednu mám. A udělám si
dělo. Já
musím na záchod, god damn it!
No tak střel do těch světel a zabij tu červenu.
Čeho, že jsi sedl s Heplerem? Ten chudák, ten tam vyjde jako zpraskaný pes. That prick by měl vylezt, vylezt, říct, ok, fine, I made a mistake.
Ta otázka byla, že já s ním nebudu mluvit, protože je žít, right?
Yeah.
A já jsem na to odpověděl. Že on chtěl se mnou mluvit, až má po ulici jsem.
Like a hoodlum. Nás hodil po ulici. Ten policajt půjde rovno za tím Heplerem now. Oni se chcou vymluvit, že on byl mladý lawyer a systém je perfect.
Systém je perfect, já si taky hovnout, že systém je perfect.
Fix it! A systém se naučí být perfect.
všichni to sfixovali, my to sfixujete taky. Já jsem mluvil jako revolution.
Absolutely.
Vy to sfixujete.
Jedeme doleva, why'd you just change lanes?
Do nás, jsem se, že je to doprava. A já vím, kde je. Já jsem nepomal, jenom oni to dali do toho, co tam bylo, ten head food, nebo co to bylo.
Jsme tam byli hodně dlouho, my jsme tam byli
2 hodiny.
2 hodiny.
Co to nevím, 9:30, hodinu a půl. Every time on něco řekl a já jsem mu to rybatloval
a tak, že
tam zůstal sedět a ne...
Rybat, já mám lásíka! Lásíš to do prdele! Ten lo musí být fair pro oba dva! Pro ně, jak pro nás!
Já to jsem zapal, já jsem právě chtěl říct, že to lo se musí být činčit.
Já jsem ti to chtěl připomenout, to la, right? To je...
Ale to je tu mať, to je jedno.
Že to la protektuje to guilty.
Tak, ty jsi to řekl.
Yes.
Nám, že to la protektuje guilty.
Yeah. Ja. No s tím mají problém. S tím mají oba dva problém, right?
Já jsem jim to rozbil tím, že to budou muset změnit.
Absolutely.
Že to...
A to je tvůj job! You prick.
Ne, vy tomu nerozumíte. Vy to ani ještě nevíte, co se tady děje. To bylo... Ne, oni jste ten Starbucks na levé straně.
Right here, yeah, yeah.
My tady.
Right here.
Yeah, right here. My God, já to neodbočím tady. Jede celá lajna proti nám. Tak toto zavíraj, tu hospodu.
Why?
Ztratili lís.
Takový beautiful landmark? Můžeš jít, jde přes ulic, blikaj světla.
No, tady von za mnou, ne?
Jo.
To
je rovnič? Někde za parku, já ruky, kde si decidu, nejde bus zone. Oh, sorry, surprise!
do that one.
Okay, fine.
It's much better time to study it.
Okay, yeah.
Co ty říkal, že potřebuješ do té jedné hodiny ještě udělat?
Nothing.
No, tak